Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome to the Garibaldi Red podcast, a Nottingham Forest podcast on this fine Friday lunchtime, or shall we say Friday brunch with Hayes and Aspie. That might become a new feature very soon as Dave giggles away. I'm Max Hayes, your host, and today delighted to be joined by Dave Aspie again to preview another big clash for Forest away at Brighton on Sunday. We are live on Facebook, Nottingham Forest News, and Garibaldi Red on the YouTube channel, so be sure to get your comments in. No Friday cooking questions, please, but many football questions, and me and Dave will do our best to answer them. Dave, let's start. First of all, how are you? I think I can imagine that you've recovered from the Liverpool game now.
I was recovered as soon as it finished, Max, to be honest, because as I walked out of the City Ground last week, amidst that, you know, hurricane of anger and vexation and frustration, I knew none of it could be changed. And I couldn't control any of it. None of us can control it. A referee made a decision, however egregious or outrageous that decision was, it can't be changed. As I've just said to you before we came on air, you know, you can't have like, hi, Liverpool, do you want to come back? We'll play the game again. Can't do that. And I've always been of a mind that the referee is right, even when he's wrong, which might upset a few Forest fans, but there's no point bothering about it now. It's in the past, stuck there, you know, hard concrete of the past, and we have to move on. We have to, I think, our lads in particular. I mean, the thing is with it, Max, yeah, Paul Tierney made a mistake. Everybody knows it. Paul Tierney would probably admit he's made a mistake himself, you know, because hindsight is an exact science. And you know, Forest in certain ways were culpable. We had the best two chances of the game, Anthony missed them. We should have rose-headed the ball after the restart to stop Alexis putting that beautiful ball into Darwin Núñez. So, you know, to say it's the referee's fault or it is too simplistic, it was a confluence of things that went on, Max, you know, but the bottom line is it can't be changed. And what I would like is that if there's a sense of injustice within the squad, in the dressing room, I want them to use it as motivation. Moments like that in your life, not just in football, but any sphere of life, you can go one of two ways. You can sort of melt under the pressure, or you can sort of grab it and use it as a motivational tool. And I'd like to think that Nuno this week and the lads have all been sat in that dressing room or on the training ground or and developing, putting a chip on their shoulder about it and saying, okay, we've had this thrown in our faces. Let's push back and let's go. And the best way for Nottingham Forest to answer everything that's gone on is to put in a performance at the Amex on Sunday of good football, you know, working together, being that family. That, I mean, I think the spirit in the squad is great. It's probably, if anything, what happened last Saturday will drive them even closer, because as I know from recent events, you know, terrible adversity brings units closer together. And I hope that when we go to the Amex on Sunday, we take that cause and use it for our benefit and to do as much damage, if you like, to whatever Brighton and Hove Albion want to do, mate. I think that's the only way to go on with it.
Yeah, I think kind of after the podcast on Monday, for me, I have calmed down about the referee and I've kind of moved on. And like you said, you can't change history, you can't change the past. No. So we move on to a huge game against Brighton that we will touch on. We are live on Facebook and YouTube. Maurizio says, ciao from Italy, and also says, after the big defeat here in Italy, I'm afraid Brighton will be angry and hungry to batter us on Sunday. Yeah, that's not a bad point at all.
Very good.
Yes. So when you look at a game on Sunday, Dave, and in fact, before we do, I want to kind of just quickly touch on where Forest are potentially at the moment. And obviously we hear the outcome of the points deduction very soon. Forest's, it's the last day of almost the hearing with the Premier League for Forest allegedly breaking PSR rules, otherwise known as FFFP. It's such a complex situation. I don't really want to get into that too much. But yeah. Do you almost feel, Dave, that Nuno will be motivating the players ahead of Sunday, and also around the club at the minute, there might be a bit of a siege mentality, given that, look, we're Forest and everybody's against us at the moment, and we've got this points deduction looming and we're having these bad referee decisions. And I can remember, Dave, we've had this conversation in the past. You talk about Luton having kind of that siege mentality, Everton having that mentality. Potentially it's Forest's turn, and it's almost Forest against everyone, us against everyone.
I mean, that's, mate, it's a brilliant summation of it. I mean, you know, articulate, eloquent, it sums it all up. And Nuno, I mean, let nobody be in any doubt about Nuno's feelings. I thought he conducted himself brilliantly last week, Nuno. He's not a man to be messed with. He's quite taciturn. He's sort of quite uncompromising, I think. And he himself... I looked at the thing that gave me the most hope going into this week was Nuno last week talking to Colin, which was like 90 seconds of barely concealed contempt and anger, not for Colin, but for just the situation. It's obviously, how could, you know, we all love Colin. Colin's a legend. But it was like he went into the press conference and he was asked a question about the referee. He refused to answer it. And then somebody else asked him a question about the referee, and Nuno, quite fiercely, do not insist. Do not ask me about the referee. Do not insist. And I like Nuno. You could see Nuno was like, right, let's get to work this week. And I think he will feel a particular way about it. That was clear to see from his facial expressions and his body language last week that he was an angry man. But it was a controlled anger, and he kept it. He could have said untold things and got himself in a lot of trouble. He could have said something to get himself away from the dugout this weekend. He didn't. I thought he kept the pan on the top on the boiling pan of water, Max. He kept it just about there. But I looked at that and thought he's got a lot of emotion and feeling that he will transmit into our lads this week through training and talking and team meetings and all that kind of thing. And I think, you know, we might be the angriest team in the country at the moment, you know, with the greatest sense of being hard done by, if you like. But I also think as well, he will say to them, you had opportunities. You're as culpable in some ways as officialdom. He will say, he says every week they need to improve. I do think we are playing better football than we did previously, Max. But, you know, my view on last weekend was, I mean, good teams find a way to win matches when they're not at their best, which is what Liverpool did, and maybe why Liverpool are top. an average or teams that need to improve play well and find ways not to win, and that's us, and that's why we're 17th. And you know, but then again, taking that performance last week, he will say to them, there was so much in that performance last week to like about us. I mean, you know, at one point last week, the afternoon looked like it was going to go really, really bad for us. You know, Brentford were winning, Palace were winning, Everton were winning. And then at the end of the day, Everton lost, Palace lost, Brentford were held to a point. Luton looked like they were going to make ground, and then, bless him, Luca Dina came and helped us all out. So I think, yeah, absolutely, you know, everything you say, Max, in your little piece there, that applies this weekend. And I'm sure, you know, Nuno's thinking is a replica of your set of thoughts, mate. So I absolutely no doubt Forest will be highly motivated this weekend. You know, and I just hope they go the let's use it as fuel route rather than, oh God, woe is us, what can we do about it? You know, they've got 11 games. I think it's 11 games to put themselves in a position to stay in, you know, the most high profile sporting league in the world. And they got to attend to business. And what happened last weekend, it can't be changed now. It's got to be forgotten, really.
Yeah, and it's certainly a difficult challenge, those 11 games, 11 cup finals probably.
Yeah.
For Forest, hoping to get kind of any points on the board, especially given a points deduction. Do keep your comments coming on Facebook and YouTube. Any questions, me and Dave happily answer, unless they're about, I don't know, kind of lunchtime recipes of what to eat on a Friday brunch, something like that. We're probably
steam
not
steam it up. A box of fish fingers in your oven. Steam some spinach, carrots and broccoli, and away you go. Pop a bit of sauce on, and that's it. I don't cook. I just heat up, you know.
We all know what you're having for lunch, Dave.
I think it might be chicken Kiev's, actually.
Right, let's stay on Forest instead of instead of chicken Kiev's.
Absolutely.
Interesting point I've been thinking about, Dave, actually, this week, and I was talking to a mate about this yesterday. When I look at Nuno on the sidelines, I feel at the moment, and it might be a point that many Forest fans will agree, and maybe many will disagree too, but I feel like Nuno's a bit of a lost man. He looks down, given kind of the recent refereeing errors, recent turmoil off the pitch with a possible points deduction. Not that the players aren't playing for him at all. I'm not saying that by any means. I just think there needs to be more of a connection between him and the supporters. And it's very difficult for him to come in, and I keep talking about it, off the back of a great manager of Steve Cooper, a fan's favourite. But I just kind of want the Forest fans to kind of feel Nuno and kind of get him and really kind of almost build a connection with him, like they did with Steve, because the next 11 games, he's going to need it, and the team are ultimately going to need it. And it is a cliche, but the fans really can be the 12th man.
Yeah, they were for most of the game last week. I mean, we said on the show last week, Max, that if Forest could get through the first 15 minutes of that game against the league leaders unscathed, get us on board, then it can be quite powerful. And I think the atmosphere in the City Ground was great last week. Everybody was in on it. As for Nuno, I mean... You know, he and Steve are just different personality types. You know, I think, I don't know, you know, they are what they are. They're both individuals. Nuno, I think Nuno is a little bit more, I don't know.
Reserved, potentially, Dave.
Possibly. I think, you know, the language barrier. I mean, I you know, to see the difference in the two, I used to, you know, I always get the programme every home game, and Steve would write, you know, a monologue, you know, fill a page. Nuno is very sort of to the point and what have you. I think he's kind of come in, and I think there's a sort of I think everybody respects him. But, you know, what Steve Cooper did on a personal level, you know, I don't think that's Nuno's way. Nuno's, you know, we tried that and it got to the point where it didn't work. So we have to kind of go and try something different now. I think he's a little bit more of a disciplinarian than Steve was. I think Steve was everybody's big brother, you know, open door. He was kind of, he had that distance from the team psychologically, but he was kind of everybody's elder brother, mate sort of thing. I think Nuno's a little bit more, I suppose, authoritative in a way. But, you know, you can't knock what he's done in football. And I think he's a strong guy. I think there'll be some strong words this week. But I think the way Nuno will get that love from, I mean, it's a hard-hearted, ruthless business football. Give us results. Yeah, if we were to go on a run, right, and win these next 11 games and end up, if we were to do it, I mean, it's unlikely, but if we were to do it and we'd be mid-table, I think if we stay up, the love for Nuno will then generate of itself. I don't think there's any disgruntlement with him. I did see one person last week say, we've won one in so many, he's got to go. I'm like, it's just too early to say that. But, you know, they're just different people. And what's good for one is different for another, mate, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting point. I suppose we'll see kind of how the connection might kind of forge with the supporters, and especially given if Forest stay up. Right, let's touch on this weekend's game, what we're here for mainly. Brighton, it's quite funny because we did the preview for Villa, Dave. We've done the preview for Liverpool. And I suppose Brighton are a club where Forest will be kind of looking at and hoping to be like Brighton in 5 to 10 years' time.
Yeah,
a great manager in De Zerbi. Obviously had Graham Potter before who kind of went on to other things, but did a brilliant job. The club's very well ran off the pitch, a decent fan base, decent stadium, decent area. It's probably a club that Forest one day aspire to be, surely, in the Premier League. Mm.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I think it is. I think Mr. Marinakis has looked at what Brighton and Hove Albion have done. I mean, you know, and they are superbly run. Tony Bloom, I think, is one of the best owners of a football club in this country. I think he's a lovely man. He's very, very shrewd. They seem to be, or seem to have been, one step ahead of the game, knowing, say, for example, they were going to lose a key player. They always seem to have a replacement. Their scouting procedure is excellent. So much to like about Brighton and Hove. I mean, you know, it's, again, a bit like Luton Town and Bournemouth and Brentford. It's one of the great stories of football. I mean, it isn't that long since they were at the Withdean Athletic Stadium playing in, you know, what now be League Two. But what they've achieved, like Luton, it's a fairy tale. You know, what they did as well when they came up, Max, they paid their dues, their first four seasons in the Premier League. And this has stuck in my mind, especially in giving context to what we're doing at the moment. They finished 15th, 17th, 15th and 16th in their first 4 years in the Premier League. They just scraped up those 4 years and stayed in the division. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was almost overnight, they just like, blimey, Brighton are now playing like an established Premier League team and have become an established Premier League team. They went through that, if you like, purgatory of 4 years of just relegation fights and just keeping their head above water to then be able to get to that sunnier upland. And I've looked at us as we have to kind of do that ourselves. You know, you don't just go straight up to the Premier League and become, right, we're at home here. You know, some teams have gone up, done really, really well in their first season. I mean, Leeds United, I think they were ninth in their first season when they came back up under Bielsa. And then it started to unravel. And it's unraveled to the point where they've gone back down. They're probably likely to come back up, but you know. So with Forest, it's just keeping your head above that dotted line. But with Brighton, the only thing I would say about with Brighton is I just feel the gloss has gone off a little bit in the last couple of months. I don't know if I'm right in thinking this, but they've won only 5 of their last 22 or 23 games, and I've just felt with Brighton they've stopped being what we like about Brighton. You know, because I really like Brighton. I think we're going to play great football. Like you say, it's a cracking stadium. The whole setup's superb. I just felt recently they've kind of lost their mojo a bit. I think maybe they've reached an optimal point of like, this is as much as we can do with Europe and stretching the squad. They make a lot of changes. They've made more personnel changes than any team in this division. And that can't be helpful. You know, it's almost like Zerbi doesn't know his best 11 or has a settled set. I mean, injuries obviously play a part. They've had suspensions. They've had people sent off, things like that. But it just feels like we talked about maybe a good time to play Liverpool last week. I think this might be a good time to play Brighton, you know. The only thing I would say is it's two teams who are wounded coming into the game. We're wounded from what happened last weekend, you know, with all the controversy around us. They've just come off a thumping in Rome, you know, and it's almost like both teams are looking for a reset, and they'll probably both be angry. It might be quite a feisty game on Sunday, but Brighton, I just felt De Zerbi's body language, Max, as a little bit quite noteworthy for me. It's almost like I've seen him, and he looks like he's kind of going through the motions a bit. I was talking to a friend who went to Craven Cottage last week, where Fulham beat Brighton quite comfortably, and he felt that Brighton didn't really turn up, and De Zerbi picked a pretty much a second string team. Obviously, he had the Roma game in mind. But it just feels like some of them have lost their way. But Evan Ferguson, you know, we all had Evan Ferguson down as the next big thing, a young striker coming. Evan Ferguson's a hell of a player, but he hasn't scored for ages. And you know, it just feels like the bits of Brighton are all floating about without really coalescing. And I just think this might be a good time to play them. And you know, but we've got to attend to us. We've got to use all of that hurt, if you like, to power us through. We win there on Sunday. I mean, that's a hell of a result. I mean, you know, you're hoping that Palace play Luton. So, you know, much as I like Luton, but I want them to get beat every week, because I do think it's kind of them and us. I mean, Everton are at Manchester United. Who else? Sheffield United are at Bournemouth. But I mean, Sheffield United, goodness me, I watched them on Monday night. And I feel really sorry for the Blaze fans, because that was a betrayal of all the money they paid to go to Bramall Lane and all the emotional investment. It was an embarrassment of a performance to the Premier League, really. You know, and Burnley, I mean, I'm not sure where Burnley are this weekend, but, you know, so I think if we were doing it at Brighton.
I think it shows maybe the gulf, Dave, doesn't it, between the Championship and the Premier League and yeah, just the quality difference. And potentially, yeah, actually, you look at the teams in the Championship now that are on the verge of promotion, Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds, just to name a few. I often think that if they played in the Premier League now, that they actually maybe... I just think the quality last season, no disrespect to Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United, but the quality of the Championship last season isn't where it's at now. I think kind of since Leicester and Leeds particularly and Southampton got relegated, it's been more of an interesting league. So, yeah.
Do you know what, Max? You might get this weird situation, and it's been in the back of my mind, you know, this sort of odd occurrence where the three that went down come back up and the three that came up go straight back down. I'm not sure it's ever happened. You know, but there's always a first time for these things, and you know, you get a feeling that, I mean, Luton have got a game in hand on us, but there's still 4 points back. That game in hand is at Bournemouth, which obviously will be an emotionally charged evening because of what happened when Tom Lockyer collapsed at Dean Court. You know, the only team that, if you look at the top of the Championship, the bottom of the bottom three of the Premier League, and the top sort of three and a bit, Ipswich, I tell you what, they don't half score some goals. And Kieran McKenna, I actually think he's doing an incredible job at Ipswich Town. I mean, you know, what he's achieved there, you know, in a quiet way. I mean, it's a brilliant bit of coaching that. I mean, this week I watched the game, they were playing Bristol City. They were 2-1 down with like 8-9 minutes to go and somehow found a way to win it, you know. And Ipswich, every time people write Ipswich off as, oh, they just come up, they can't possibly keep up with Leeds, Leicester and Southampton, you know. And then you've got West Brom and Hull are in there as well. I think they're really good teams, you know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the gulf between the top of the Championship and the bottom of the Premier League, there's a bit of a gulf, but the gulf from the bottom of the Premier League to certainly the big three at the top now is huge. But then on the other side of that, mate, Forest who were 17th, played the league leaders last week. And that was a game that Forest could have won. So maybe Forest showed that the golf isn't that great. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's almost like when at the moment you establish some kind of trend or theme, Max, along comes a fact, say, well, actually, that's not quite the case. You know, so, I mean, the golf was there. When Arsenal played Sheffield United, the golf was colossal. When Nottingham Forest played Liverpool last Saturday, the golf wasn't all that great, because I actually think Anthony sticks his two chances away, we pull off an incredible famous win. So, you know.
Yeah. Football. Football, isn't football, it, Davis? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, bonkers, mate.
So much to talk about. Yeah, exactly. It is. And also, you know, it's funny you actually mentioned Ipswich there. Just on a side note, I wouldn't mind Ipswich getting promoted. I can remember when Forest beat them on the last day to stay up with Warburton.
Yeah.
Cheeky plug as well for the Mark Warburton interview. If you've still not listened to that on Garibaldi Red, it's still out. So be sure to listen to that. And Mark touches on that brilliant day. And I actually can remember Ipswich, the fans and the manager in particular, Mick McCarthy at the time, were very complimentary to Forrest. And I can remember Mick McCarthy saying in his interview that he was glad his side lost because Forrest was such a big club and he didn't want to get them relegated to League One. And it just made me feel like, you know,
I love him.
Yeah. So for those reasons.
Yeah. Mick McCarthy. Oh, I love Mick McCarthy.
It's a good impression, Dave. It's a good impression.
You're mad, is it? What do you think is his name? I can't say anything else as Mick McCarthy, mate. You know.
Yes. Right. Let's go back to Forest. And when you look at the Brighton game again on Sunday, Dave, away from home, and we know that Forest aren't great away from home. You follow them week in, week out. You go to more away games than I do. You'll be there on Sunday. I won't be. But
yeah, I'm a glutton for it, Max.
Yeah, you are. But how do Forest almost have this mentality? And I suppose it comes in with this 11 cup finals and a possible points deduction. But Forest have really got to sort their away form out, and we have this season, and we've got, of course, we've won more away, and you look at games like Brentford perhaps, where we narrowly lost 3-2 and we, you know, gave ourselves a very good account playing away at there, but you just wish that Forest could go away from home and just have that confidence that they do when they play at the City Ground perhaps.
Yeah, do you know what, Max, I always kind of felt, I mean, last year there was a clear dichotomy between what went on at the City Ground, which effectively kept us up, and what went on or didn't go on away from home last year. I always felt, and I'm not being wise after the event, that there would be a little bit more of a balancing, that we wouldn't be quite as good at home this year as we had been last year, and we might be a little bit better away from home. And I think that has happened, not to a great extent. I think there's a little bit more of a levelling up. I mean, you know, Newcastle was fantastic. You know, Chelsea away was fantastic. There have been other games that we've been on the road. We've been in more games away from home this year than we were last year. Arsenal on the first day, Manchester United the second away game, Palace away. We should have got something there. That, you know, that day, that great run by Murillo. There are other games where we've gone away from home. You kind of Brentford, and you kind of think we could have got something there. So I think Forest have got better. But they need to be getting better still. It's all well and good putting in good performances, but points is everything. Points make prizes, and we need to start getting points, because, you know, you can have all the nice performances in the world, but if the points on the board, then effectively those performances have been a waste of a performance, because you need to get the points on the board. And especially now, you know, we're playing this brinkmanship game again, where we're in the mire, we're in a battle. We might lose some of the 24 precious points that we've already garnered. We might have those taken off us. So it's getting to the point now. Performances are one thing, but you're getting results. And it goes back to, if Nuno gets results and the love from the stand, you know, that rapport that Steve had it, he cultivated it. Nuno will cultivate a similar love from the stands. By getting results, it's just get the points on the board by hook or by crook. I would love it, to quote Kevin Keegan, if we went to Brighton on Sunday, played abysmally and came away with a 1-0 win. You know, I'd rather us play averagely and get a sneaky 1-0 win than go there, play brilliantly and get beat 4-3. You know, I mean, we have so much improvement that we need to make. But I do think we are better away from home, but it still isn't enough. We have to, I'd like us to go somewhere. The only place we've done it, we went to Newcastle and we just stamped our authority all over that massive ground and all over that huge crowd and all over that Champions League team that had been this year. And we just dominated it. And it was great to see. It was a bit, blimey, what am I witnessing here? You know, especially having gone behind. And I think I'd like us to do that. You know, I'd certainly like us to do it this week. The following week, I actually think it's the biggest game of our season. It's a cup final. It's almost like a playoff final against Luton, if you like. If we go to Kenilworth Road and get 3 points, then I think I would be then saying, well, yeah, maybe we will stay up. You know what I mean? But obviously, at the end, there's this sort of extraneous factor of you know, what's going on in the courts and what Mr. DiMarco happens to do and all this kind of stuff. So it's the feast is moving around a bit. But getting points on the board, it's just the most crucial thing, mate, you know, because get some on the board. So if we have some taken off, well, at least it reduces the gut punch that we get from it, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You mentioned Nick DiMarco there. He is in his final hearing with Forest representatives and Premier League representatives today as they meet to discuss Forest charge and all the legal stuff around that. When we do know the outcome of that, we'll have a podcast on Garibaldi Red. We spoke to Dave, actually, who is a financial expert. Not you, Dave, sadly. Another Dave.
No, I'm not a financial expert,
and,
Max.
Don't
trust me with your money, mate.
It's a good job you're not doing the Forest points deduction then. Dave Powell gave some very good points. So we'll probably have him on again next week and we'll break it down. Forest are expected to hear the points deduction by mid-April. It may come sooner. It may come later, given various media outlets and reports. But as soon as we know more information, we will get it out there for you. Before we just actually touch on the points deduction, Dave, I wanted to just finalise thoughts on the Brighton game. And Nuno set to do his press conference again this afternoon, so we'll find out any fresh team news and stuff. But what do you think in terms of when you look at the players that have come back from AFCON and the injuries there, do you expect any changes or do you think that Nuno will probably try and stick with the team that faced Liverpool?
Yeah, I think the ones that played against Liverpool, Max, get to go again. They all put in a good shift. Like, you know, they kind of went toe-to-toe with, you know, the best team in the country. Any team that's above Manchester City, who won 5 trophies last year, if Liverpool are above Manchester City, that makes them, you know, arguably the best team in the country. And our lads certainly deserved a point from it. Could even have won it. I mean, you know, so there's so much to kind of think that, you know, I just played the same 11 again. You know, I'd be in that dressing room. You lads did me a good job last year. You'll get to go again. You got hurt last weekend. Right, you got to kick in the crown jewels, right? Go and make up for it this week. You know, I wouldn't make any changes, and I'd almost make no changes because Brighton make that many changes. It's almost like, you know, Brighton's raison d'être is to just change everything all the time, and that can't be good. Whereas I think with us, I'd play the same team again. I really would. Maybe. Taiwo starting instead of Divock, but you know, Divock played. I mean, Divock had a great chance early on. That shot wasn't far away. I was right behind it in the Trent then, you know. And so, no, I wouldn't be changing too much. You know, keep, you know, a settled side. Let's keep a, you know, keep a winning side, not a winning side, but a side that played well. Forgive me, but a side that conducted itself really, really well. I mean, I you know, the last two games, we've lost to Manchester United, we've lost to Liverpool, but there were things in those games you kind of think, oh, it's good, but no, I won't be making too many changes. But same 11 for me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And actually, can I just say, let's give Matt Sells, the fact that Matt Sells has hardly been mentioned in dispatches, to me is a good sign, right? You know, I've been on umpteen podcasts, far too many for, yeah, you know, poor people out there having to see my face all the time. But the fact that we've not been, we used to talk about Matt Turner and Odysseus Flakadiras and oh, you know, all our goalkeeping issues. Since Selsey's come in, it's been pretty, you know, and he made he made a couple of great saves last weekend. The one from the header was an amazing save. You know, so I want to give Matt some credit. He's done well, he has, that man.
Yeah, I agree. My dad's actually watching the podcast live and says Dave is an expert in tea drinking. He is.
Absolutely.
Many times, Dave, have you been round to our...
Chamomile, Ben. Chamomile, mate.
Many times have you been to Hayes HQ and had a cup of tea and talked to us about Forest for too long. Right, let's finalise, Dave, before we just touch on the points deduction and a few other points. Brighton game on Sunday. Finally, how do you see it going, predictions-wise? I'd be hoping that Forest can get... I think it'd be a huge result. I mean, it'd be an incredible result if we get a win. I mean, I'd replicate last season. I'd genuinely take a 0-0 draw, a point on the board, and then you play the cup final against Luton next week.
Yeah. We have to get something, and I got a freaking feeling that we will get something. I believe that, I suppose it's karma in it and all that kind of stuff, and life evening things out. And we last week was tough, but there was lots to like about our attitude in that. And I think we can get something. I think this is a good time to play Brighton. I think it'd be a draw, because I think, you know, they'll be thinking about what happened in the Stadio Olimpico last night. We'll be thinking, right, we need to move on as best as we can and in the most positive way from last week. So both teams have got questions to answer. I guess most people will have Brighton to win because it's home advantage. And like as we both alluded to, Max, we're not great travellers. I've just got a funny feeling for Forest to do something this week. And thinking back to that night at the Amex, we were completely outclassed and outplayed and got a 0-0 draw. That was the night of Yatesy had a black eye and his nose was bleeding. He was properly in the trenches, our Ryan, that night. But it was a great point that then, I think the following game after that, we beat Liverpool at the City Ground.
We did.
So you know, I mean, the thing I'm looking forward to, you go to the Amex, and padded seats, Max, in the away end. You know what I mean?
Not that we ever really, see. Oh, it's really padded seats. Wow.
Padded seats. In, they put the thing. I don't know why they bother. In fact, I don't know why they bother. But everybody in away sections stands up. And poor old Brighton put all these lovely. Brighton might have armchairs there in the away section, but nobody's ever going to sit pop their Nottingham bums on them. You know, we're all standing up, right? But you know, if we get something, I'd be really, really happy. A win. Then my mind would be soaring into the stratosphere. It'd be a fantastic... I just got a feeling that, you know, they taketh away with one hand and maybe they giveth back with another. And I just think, you know, life's not frustrating and vexing every day. You get days which are great, and often the great days come and you don't expect them. And I just got a funny feeling, Matt. You know, I'm usually quite pessimistic. I was on a show last night, bullying Forrest up and then saying, oh, yeah, Brighton 3-0. Because I'm a bit worried. If I say something good about Forrest, I'm going to jinx him. But I just got a funny feeling that our lads will have closed ranks this week and Nuno will have, like I say, stuck that chip on the shoulder and said, right, go and take it out on Brighton, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just got a funny feeling, mate. I'm not going to give you a score prediction.
Okay, fair enough.
Just got this feeling in my waterworks, mate, you know what I mean?
I hope you're right. And it's not the tea talking instead of...
Dave's blabber. That's the way it is. Yeah. Mate, not me.
Right. Let's end the podcast on...
Oh, the other thing. Sorry, Max.
Yes.
The other thing, mate. Just, we've got the spirits on our side this week because Sunday, and I hope everybody remembers this and has sorted it out. It's Mother's Day on Sunday, right? And it's very poignant and special for me, because my little mum, our little greeter, she would have been 87 on Sunday. And I know for a fact that her spirit is travelling with me to the Amex. And her spirit has said it's going to get at De Zerbi and it's going to get at Lewis Dunk and all these. And we're doing it for greeter on Sunday.
We are. That's a nice point, Dave. Right, let's look ahead to the points deduction and Forest's hearing. I suppose you'll agree, Dave, that this has got to be concluded pretty quickly.
Yeah, it has, Max.
We just need to find the kind of the outcome very, very soon, because it is a massive distraction. It is a massive distraction to the players. Is even though they are professionals, it surely must be going through their mind every single day and every single week. It just needs to be concluded soon, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, get it finished, get it sorted. My personal view, Max, is that the longer it goes on, the more damage it does to the teams involved, the more damage it does to the credibility of football, the more damage it does to the credibility of the game and the structure that we have. Get it sorted. And the rules keep changing and all this kind of stuff. It's not helpful at all. You know, you look at a table, but you have to kind of ignore it because, well, that could be changed any minute arbitrarily by some decision over. For us, I'd like, if they're going to take any points off us, take them off us next week before we go to Luton Town, because that would motivate us in that cup final.
Yeah.
I'd like us, if they're going to take, say they're going to take, I don't know, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 off us, whatever, take them off next week before we go to Luton Town and then say, right, there you are, Nottingham Forest. There's another piece of motivation. And I say that because if you look back at what happened to Everton match, they took 10 off Everton. Obviously, they've got 4 back. But as soon as Everton had 10 taken off them, boy, did they become difficult to play against. They became really feisty, Everton, and they were motivated and fired up. And I'd like to think that if we get some taken off, which I do think will happen, I'm resigned to it, then it's another, you know, another bit of fuel on the fire to get Forest to move forward. I think it needs to be done as soon as possible for everybody involved, not just us, but all the teams around us at the bottom. Let's get on with the business of letting the football decide where clubs end up. The one thing you can't have is like somebody being relegated at the end of the season and somebody staying up and then having, you're not going down, you stay up now. And it's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get it done. And that's probably a nice point to end on. We'll just read out some score predictions. James says 2-1 Forest. Barry says, I'm saying 6 points, Max. I'm guessing that's for the Brighton game and the Luton game. Frank as well saying, same team, Forest to win 3-0. God, I'm liking this positivity. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah. That's all we've got to hope for. Dave, thank you as ever. Hope you've enjoyed Friday brunch and we'll see you probably again next week and enjoy the trip to the padded seat away end on Sunday.
Yeah,
mate.
I will. Just before going, Max, I need to send a little message of support and love out to somebody, to dear old Barry, who we both know. He's not been very well recently, our old Barry, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man who goes to every game with his family. And I just want to send all my love out to Barry. I know he's been a bit poorly recently, and wishing him and his family all the very best.
Yeah, I agree. We echo those thoughts. Steve said a lovely message as well the other week. So fingers crossed, Barry, and hope to see you back at the City Ground soon. Right, great. We will see you after the Brighton game on Monday for our main show and then as well next week for all the stuff in between. Have a great weekend. Fingers crossed for a Forest win on Sunday. And there's one positive we can end on this Friday. Paul Tierney isn't the referee.
You Reds!